As some of you know, I recently did a little walk just across the top of Spain, and as a result of finishing the Camino, I am now putting together a book. And during the course of putting my book together, I'm using reflections that I wrote every day at the place where I was, usually in the evening after things had settled down, and I might have had my first glass of red, perhaps. I'd just settle down and then I'd write it in my journal. On the 21st of September, I was at a place called Astorga. And on the 21st of September, I was baptised. Not this year, last year. But I was baptised as an adult. And I remember the 21st of September all the time. It's the Feast of St. Matthew. I was received as an adult into the Catholic Church. And so I took Matthew as my confirmation name, if you like, my saint's sponsor name, Matthew. Easy to remember. Everything's locked into the 21st. And as it turned out, the priest who received me into the church, it was his ordination anniversary, the 21st of September. Now, most of you wouldn't remember your baptism. Most of you, some of you probably certainly would. But for the main part, baptism in the Western world is instigated through the will of the parents. It's a public act. It's not something that is done privately. It is done as a show, a demonstration that this individual is going to be a part of this community. It is about the present, the here and the now, but the sacrament itself is focused on the future. In fact, the individual's entire future. And some might say, I wonder what this boy or this little girl is going to grow to be. Well, that will be determined partly by their genetics, the environment in which they're raised, and it'll also be determined in a big part by the influence of those who are standing there with the individual saying, I want my son or daughter to be baptised. Many people question, as time goes on, oh, why don't my kids follow on with the faith? And then I hear families say, especially parents say, well, look, you know, we did all the right things, and inevitably many of them say, I sent them to a Catholic school. Well, that's not the cure for everything. We know that. And parents are very often despairing because what they wanted for their child, they don't see being lived out. It's not being fulfilled. And that would affect nearly every family here today. Perhaps it is that it's not until a young person realises that they actually need baptism, or they need their faith, or that they actually realise that they belong to a community. Perhaps it's at that time that young people start to become not so young people. I say this just to encourage parents who may despair because their kids don't follow through with the faith that you as parents gave them. Little people would find it as an opportunity for a celebration, a bit of a party if a brother or sister gets baptised. But they are so aware of the birth journey, the 9 months that it takes when mum and dad first say to one of the siblings, you're going to have a little brother or a sister in time. And so that child or those children, they journey with. And then when it comes to the time of baptism, those kids have actually been a part of the life of this child. And when we ask the people to renew their baptismal promises and ask the family to renew their baptismal promises, I try to make a point of those kids who can understand and who can speak clearly if they're old enough, that they get to say yes to the questions that are asked as well, because they didn't have a choice when they were baptised. It's what their parents wanted for them. And the parents who still say, I wonder what my child will turn out to be. When I travelled, I had a travel companion for a while there, and she's a mum who teaches in a Catholic school in Western Australia. She has three children. And the eldest one is a difficult lad. He's actually my godson. But he's a bit of a difficult lad, and he refuses to have anything to do with the church. The second boy is unsure, and he was a leader in his Catholic school. The second boy is unsure whether he believes in God or not. And these kids in this generation are not backward in saying what I have just said. They'll tell it exactly as it is. And so I said to my friend, I said, how do you get through that when you ask to have, because I baptised all of these kids. I said, how do you get through that when you wanted this for them and then you see them close the door on it or walk away with their back towards you? And her response was, well, firstly, I'll give you this one for the troubled son. Her response was that people who need love the most ask for it very often in the most unloving ways. And I really understand that. So I've actually written that in my book. So for you parents who have tried to give such goodness to your children and then you see your kids perhaps rebelling a bit, those who need love the most ask for it very often in the most unloving ways. There may be some consolation there. Second thing she said to me down the track was that this is what I've told my sons. I gave you the gift of faith. I wanted that for you. You may not recognise it now. You may not even need it now. But when life turns you upside down and puts you in darkness, know that it will be there. So faith, it seems to me, this is a really wise mum, and she's just the same as the rest of you other mums here who get up and struggle with whatever their kids do during the day. And rather than look for blame or chastising the child who can't understand why they were baptised, they actually look through the eyes of hope that what I asked for you is going to be lived out. It may not be just yet, but it is going to be lived out in time. And I think that intimately our baptism and our faith is connected to hope. Without hope, perhaps the waters of baptism don't run at all. Perhaps they are just still. I think it is hope that stirs the waters. The hope that I'm talking about is for the goodness that I asked for my child, that child will be blessed with that goodness, with understanding, that child will become salt of the earth and will become a light in a darkened world. And I don't want, and nor do I expect, little kids to experience such darkness when they're little. But as they grow and they start to mature, darkness comes to them. They don't always go to it. And with those seeds of faith and the hope that was planted in there for the goodness of this child or children from the parents, good things will happen. If we didn't believe that, if we were hopeless, then the whole Christian story, then Jesus' own baptism was in vain. I mean, reflect on this for a minute. Jesus was sinless. He did not need to be baptised. So why did he get baptised? Perhaps he got baptised firstly to make water holy. Baptism wasn't for him. Perhaps it was for the water that we now use as you come in this church and as you exit this church, that we use through the sacrament of baptism. And in that water, as it stirs with our little finger, is the hope that we ask for in the sacrament. Let me just leave you with the 7 questions that are asked of parents when they present for baptism, they present their child for baptism. And just remember what answers you gave and why, if you can. And for the little people, these questions were asked to your mum and dad, and they answered them. They didn't sit there and say nothing. They actually answered them. First question is, what name have you given to your child? So the choosing of a name is important. It's connected somewhere in your intimate families. The second thing is, what do you ask of the church? Not what do you ask of Father Richard, not do you ask of your next door neighbour. What do you ask of the church? We are the church. What do you ask of this community for your child? Baptism. And then say, you have asked to have your child to be baptised. It is your responsibility to bring them up in the practice of the faith. And most parents try very hard to do that. The third question is addressed to the godparents. Are you ready, for those of you who are a godparent, are you ready to help these parents in their duty as Christian parents? The next question that is asked is, I should know it off by heart, I do that many of them, is one that is asked not just to the parents and those gathered around the font, but it's actually asked to the whole community. And you know these questions because we do them every Easter and quite often during the course of the year. Do you reject sin so as to live in the freedom of God's children? The answer, yes, hopefully. Do you reject the glamour of evil and refuse to be mastered by sin? And do you reject Satan, the father of sin and prince of darkness? And the parents and godparents and our community answer, I do. The next question I ask is, do you believe in God the Father Almighty? Next one, do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son? And the third question there is, do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church? With a small c, it means universal. The communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. And we answer, I do. The last question that is asked at baptism is when the priest says, or the deacon says to the parents, is it your will that your son or daughter should be baptised in the church, which we have all professed with you? Baptism isn't a solo event. It is a community event. And whether you see it working actively now in the life of your children, that might be part of the mystery. But stir those holy waters and that mystery will be revealed. And your children may even hear the voice say, this is my son, this is my daughter, with whom I am well pleased.